Good morning, church. It is good to be with you today. We've made it to the final message in our series, Crossing the Jordan. Over this series, we have talked extensively about trusting God, even when we don't understand. We've talked about stepping out in faith. And last week, we talked about remembering the faithfulness of God. God is faithful, amen? In the final text of this series, we're going to read about how God provided victory for the Israelites in Jericho. He provides that victory in a very odd way. He commands the Israelites to do some things that did not seemingly, and even today, seemingly don't make any sense in order to achieve the victory they were looking for. It's important to note that God did something amazing because the Israelites were faithful and they followed. This morning, I want us to see that God can do big things through us here at GC Naz. If we continue to be obedient, and the word continue is important to keep in mind, if we continue to be obedient, faithful to him, he will bring us victory. The question we will try to answer this morning is, how do we triumph when God gives us our Jericho moment? It comes down to this. To see a victory in Greenwood for the kingdom, we must be obedient even when we don't understand the methods God is asking us to use. Our text is a little long this morning. I was going to have you actually stand for the reading of God's word, but 20 verses is a long time to stand, so you can stay seated. But we're going to be in Joshua chapter 6. It'll be on the screen. It says this. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or to come in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Imagine that for a second. You're a soldier, and Joshua comes to you and says, hey, you're going to march around the city of Jericho every day for 6 days. And? Like they're probably sitting there like, okay, what's next? No, that's it. It's just march around the city. Did you have your coffee this morning, Joshua? 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, I didn't have a shofar, which is what it's called. I should have brought one. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. We're going to try this, okay? So GC Naz, we're going to shout as loud as we can. Okay, people with hearing aids, you might want to turn them down for a second, okay? Just shout. I don't, whatever that means for you. Okay, 1, 2, 3. All right. I think there was a lot more of them, so it probably was a little louder than that, but that was good. That was good. Then, once that shout takes place, we're just saying shout to the Lord. Once that shout takes place, what happens? The walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning. The priests again carried the ark of the Lord. 7 priests with the ram's horn marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. And then on the second day, they did it again, and the pattern followed for 6 days. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, some of the Israelites were like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, this is accomplishing nothing. I'm sure there were people that thought that, right? I mean, there had to be. It's natural for a human being to look at what they're being asked to do and be like, okay, something is not right here. This does not make any logical sense. Walking around the town is not going to make these big, thick walls of Jericho come down. But yet, verse 15, on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn, and they marched around the town as they had done before. So they were faithful. Even if any of them didn't think that it made sense, they still got up. They went to do what God had asked them to do. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout. Let's try this again. Joshua commanded the people, shout. For the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, let's all read this together, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Father God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for this story. And this is not just a fictional story that's just kind of weird and interesting. It really happened. It is history. It's your history. It's what you did. And Father, just as it taught the Israelites on that day, it teaches us still today. So, Father, as we go through this message this morning, would you open our hearts, open our minds, and let us hear from you. Pray this in your name, and everyone said, amen. So I believe there are 4 things that our text tells us today. Let's start breaking it down. The first thing we learn comes from verses 1 and 2, which says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. These verses tell us that God promises victory when we follow him. When we listen, when we do what God asks, he promises victory. Is that good news this morning, church? The people of Jericho were afraid of the Israelites, presumably because they had heard the stories of what God had been doing through the nation of Israel. What? Is it not working? Okay.
Check. Is that better? Okay, good. Technical difficulties, we love it. They weren't actually afraid of the people, the Israelites. They're afraid of God. They're afraid of what God could do, because God, they'd already seen, is mighty. And even though they had these really thick walls, the people of Jericho recognized the power and might of Israel's God. Our God is mighty, amen? God is powerful, amen? God tells Joshua in verse 2 that I, being God, have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. Here's some truth for you this morning, church. God is responsible for the results. See, too often we think we're responsible for making things happen for God. We aren't. God makes it happen. If our church grows, it's not because we're really great people and we're awesome at this and we just are the best church. It's because God's working through our people, amen? It's not because of us. It's because of him. We don't have to be concerned about what God is going to do. We aren't responsible for the results. Are you a little reassured in that? Isn't it good to know that it's not on us? There is a reality we must face, though. Sometimes, our view of victory doesn't match God's. What we think is victory isn't always victory. And this can be kind of difficult, can it? Because if you're expecting one thing and something else happens, you're disappointed. But again, if you remember, if we are not responsible for the results, we don't have to worry about it, do we? If we remember God is responsible, it will ease the tension when the results don't make sense to us. The second thing we learn this morning in these verses, actually verses 3 through 5, this is the part where God explains what the Israelites are to do to have victory over the people of Jericho. And I'm not going to reread all of that because it's a lot. But remember, God asked the Israelites to march around the town once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they are to march around it 7 times. Then there's going to be a blast of a ram's horn, and on it goes. And then the people are going to shout. Who was the one that said, hey, first? Oh, it's George. All right, perfect. All I heard was, like, stereo, hey, hey! That's good. That's really good. And at the shout of the people, the walls will crumble. This is kind of nuts, right? I mean, let's just be honest. This is a weird thing that God is asking them to do. This passage tells us that God's plans for us don't always make sense, but our success requires obedience. We don't know what would have happened if Israel would have said, no, we're not doing this. This doesn't make any sense. But what we do know is that their faithfulness directly led to God doing something amazing. And church, that doesn't change today. Our faithfulness to God is required for success. Being faithful to God and trusting Him is extremely important. There are going to be times when God asks us to do things that are strange or confusing. Can I talk real with you for just a second? I don't even have this written in my notes. How many of you have been in this church, in this church only, for 20 plus years? Okay, so a few of you. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you have been in one church nearly your entire life? Okay, a few of you. For those of us who have been in many, many different churches, there are lots of ways, pardon the expression, to skin the cat. There are lots of churches that do it different and are successful. And we can really easily get caught up in, well, we do it this way and we don't do it that way, even though this church does it that way. We got to get out of that mindset. None of that matters. What matters is what God is asking us to do today here, right? It doesn't matter if Northside Baptist is doing the exact same thing we are or we're doing the same thing they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is what God is asking us to do right here at GC NAS today. It's normal for us to ask the question, why did God make them do something so illogical, the Israelites? When we look at what God asked them to do, it seems crazy and it doesn't make much sense. And for me, this confronted me with a couple other questions. Who is the Lord? And do we trust God? Do I trust God? Because God's asked me to do things in the past that I did not understand. I've told you the story before. When God asked us to leave Oklahoma to go to Oregon, we were far away from our family to begin with, but to move even farther away and go and be in a state that I had no interest in even visiting. Amen, thank you. I mean, my wife and I sat there and we asked God, why? Why? Why Oregon? Of all places, why? Those 4 years were some of the best years of ministry we've ever had as a family. That's why. And ultimately, the simplest question is, He's the Lord and He tells us what to do. And we listen. Even though it didn't make sense. It makes sense now as we look back. Hindsight's always 20/20, right? I think the Israelites, after the walls came tumbling down, oh, okay, that made a lot of sense. I guess that's why we were supposed to do that thing. But you never get to that hindsight being 20/20 if you don't listen and follow and be obedient, right? Following God requires humility and trust. Let me say that again. Following God requires humility and trust. That humility and trust leads us to freedom, folks. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and what? Put it into practice. There are a lot of Christians who know the word of God, but it does nothing to change their life. They may read the scripture, they may recognize a verse, but it doesn't do anything for them. It doesn't change their life in any dramatic way. The word's useless if it's not changing us. How about what Solomon writes in Proverbs 16:20? Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Or how about what Solomon's dad, King David, writes in Psalm 128, verse 1? How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. I could go on all day. But the reality here is undeniable. Obedience to God's ways and directing is required for victory. The third thing we can learn from this passage comes from verses 6 through 14. The Israelites had to wait 7 days for victory. I bet for some of them that week felt like it was never going to end. I imagine that there were times of uncertainty of whether victory was actually going to come. I'm sure there were some Israelites who were questioning whether this plan was actually from God to begin with. Because remember, God doesn't speak directly to the Israelites about this, does he? He speaks through who? Joshua. So they not only had to trust God, they had to trust that Joshua was listening to God. And they did, right? Obviously, because they did what they were told. Remember, it's important that they were incredibly patient. They waited on God to do what God was going to do. So here's the third truth this morning. And this one's hard. God's timing is not always our timing. God's timing is not always our timing. And I think for many of us, this is where we get tripped up. It's an old cliche these days in the church, I think, but you know, God doesn't always say no, but sometimes he says not yet. And for a lot of us, that's hard. It's hard to wait, to trust that God is going to move when we don't see it. Last week we sang the song Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. We can sing those words, but if we don't actually mean it, then where are we at as a church, as a person, as an individual? Where are we at? We want God to work on our clock and on our calendar, but the reality is that God knows better than we do. We need to trust that he will bring us victory and resolution in his time. We want God to act now. But again, patience is key. Maybe it's why it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. I know that being patient, waiting on God to work, is not always an easy thing to do. In fact, I would say it's easier said than done, right? Another old cliche. But if we want to see walls come down, we need to wait for God to bring the walls down. Listen to what King David writes in Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. He is referring back to Joshua, David is here, where God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. We are called to be strong and courageous, to be brave. God asks us to wait on him. And he will bring us victory, church. His kingdom will be built if we remain obedient to him and we are able to wait on him to move and to work. So this brings us to our final point this morning. It comes from verses 15 through 20. We see that when the nation of Israel is obedient, God fulfills his promises and brings victory. It's very simple. God fulfills his promises and brings victory. God is reliable, amen? God wins, amen? And because God wins, we win. When we listen and obey God, we get to witness and participate in his victorious work and in miracles that only he can bring. How do we triumph when we encounter our Jericho moment? That's the question we asked. We have to remember that seeing a miracle encourages us. But sometimes the victory, the miracle, doesn't always look like we expect it to. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Christian author Shanna Shute said this: sometimes the only way to live in victory and not defeat is to be obedient to God. That's a profound word. Sometimes the only way to live in victory and not defeat is to be obedient to God. I remember one of my students way back when. He went into college and he called me. He said, "Pastor Michael, I've been praying. I go to a chapel. I'm in ministry classes. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. But it does not feel like God's even there. I don't feel like he's speaking. I don't feel like he's with me." I said, "Dre, you know what you need to do? Lean in. Lean in ever the more." I look back to my dad. If my dad wasn't yelling at me, I was in good shape. You know, sometimes fathers don't need to yell at their kids when they're doing the right thing. Fathers don't always need to speak. How many of you dads are ones that, you know, are quiet, quiet confidence, quiet strength? Who are the dads with the quiet strength? Okay. Ken, I can totally see that in you. I can totally see you just sitting there, give the look. Marcy knows that look. I'm not that guy. Never have been that guy. But my dad was. My dad didn't always have to say things. Sometimes I was just doing the right thing and he didn't need to say anything to me. God is the same way. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father, right? Sometimes he doesn't need to speak, but we still need to lean in. God's miracles, God's victory, they come to us when we're obedient to his leading and to his guiding. As we close this morning, I want you to remember that we are going to encounter moments in the next few years as a church when we're going to be faced with our own Jericho moments. We will be able to overcome these things together by remaining faithful to the Spirit's leading and guiding in our church. I told you this at the beginning. God wants us to have victory. Are you ready to see the work of God? Are you ready to see the harvest? If your answer is yes, jump on the train. God is moving. He's been moving in our church. We're moving forward and we are following his direction. I am thoroughly convinced our church's best days are ahead of us. I am confident that we will continue to see God move in powerful ways over the next season of our church's history. Your choice now is whether or not you are going to be a part of it. We've spent 5 weeks in this series. And one thing I know from reading Paul's writings is that the body of Christ, the church, is made up of many different parts. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. Everyone has a role and a part to play in building God's kingdom. I said this last week. It doesn't matter what age you are. You have a role to play. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're working full-time or you're working overtime. God has a place for you to fit within the church community. God's got something for you to do. And if you don't know your role or your gifting, come talk to me. It's my job as your pastor to equip you and to plug you in. And I want to do that. Pastor Tommy wants to do that. Rachel wants to do that. Rosemary. Take that first step. God has you in his hands. And I believe, I know in fact, if you take the first step in faith, God won't fail you. He will make you fruitful for his kingdom work. Amen? With that in mind, Our church has not been around a long, long time. I mean, we're not like 75 years or anything yet. Or like 50 years, like somebody celebrated yesterday, of wedding anniversary, which was awesome, by the way. But we do have a church history. We do have a really cool church history. And I said last week, we need to remember God's faithfulness, even in our church. So let's take a look at God's faithfulness over the years.
For all your sons and daughters who are walking in the darkness, we're calling us to lead them back to you. We will see your spirit rising as the lost come out of hiding. Every heart will see this hope we have in you. For all your sons and daughters who are walking in the darkness, you are calling us to lead them back to you. We sing. We'll see your spirit rising till lives come out of hiding. Every heart will see this hope we have in you.